Thank you, choir. Thank you for that reminder today. Yeah. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. I pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. We'll bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most people in life look at life based on what they believe are their rights. This is especially challenging for those who feel entitled to anything in life, feel like the world owes you something, like people owe you something. Even those who look back over their lives and want to use their past to justify their present position. There are adults, for example, who would use now adverse childhood experiences or ACEs to justify their adult dysfunction, even though they've been grown longer than they were a child. And when we talk about privileges and we talk about rights, we talk about those things that we have, I want to give you some news today as a believer, as a child of God, as somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The greatest privilege that God gives to us is the opportunity to help somebody who needs Jesus to know Jesus and to help somebody who knows Jesus to grow in Jesus. That's the greatest opportunity, the greatest privilege that we have from God. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. If you know Jesus today, somebody helped you to know him. Somebody invited you. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone answered your questions. Somebody prayed for you. Heck, we wrote a song about it. Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. And we didn't stop there. We didn't leave it to somebody. We said, my mama prayed for me. Had me on a, my daddy prayed for me. My big mama prayed for me. Had me on. We are the product of somebody having loved us when we didn't deserve to be loved. Somebody who refused to give up on us when others gave up on us. And you are here today because somebody pointed you to Jesus. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Imagine if that person who God used to help you to know the Lord had been silent. Imagine if that person's love was never expressed. Imagine if they didn't match their private prayers with the public love that you receive from that person. Imagine if they had been too busy. Imagine if they didn't share their faith with you or their love for you in the name of Jesus because they were afraid or too embarrassed or uncomfortable. Where would you be today if that person didn't love you enough to share the Lord with you? See, here's the truth. Every one of us is the evidence of someone else's obedience. No, let me say it again. Every one of us is the evidence of someone else's obedience to God. And now God challenges all of us to walk in obedience and become the answer to somebody else's need. They may not even have sense enough to pray for what they need. But God has given you the opportunity in obeying him to help somebody else. See, the Lord wants you to pray for your family members, pray for your friends, pray for your neighbors, pray for your coworkers, pray for your city, but your prayers are not enough. God wants you to link your prayers with participation. God wants you to put some feet on those prayers, give some hands to those prayers. See, the greatest misconception we have in the world today is that church is for us to feel good. When in actuality, we gather as a people of God to become good. and to leave here to be good. The church is never intended to be a destination. We are to be a distribution center. We are to be a deployment center. We were never called to be an audience. God chose us to become an army. And the common misconception about being a disciple is that somehow that's reserved for super Christians. Only the pastors and the preachers can be super Christians. It's not for everyday people. It's not for plain old Christians that are struggling to live this life like me. No, that's for them super saints. That's for them Navy SEAL saints, those Green Beret believers, those saints that leap tall Bibles in a single bound and run faster than a speeding prayer. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's super Christian. And God says, no, I want to use you because you have the opportunity to reach people like nobody else can. More than that, your kindness, people need Jesus. They need to reset their lives. That's the powerful thing. When the word says Jason and that group, they were accused of turning the world upside down. And you know how they turned the world upside down? By helping people turn their lives right side up. Today, for a few moments, I want to continue our sermon series, The Season to Serve, and I want to talk to you from the thought, how to help people know Jesus. This is part two of a message that we started on last week, how to help people know Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 10 and gives us what is arguably the clearest evangelistic passage in all of the scripture, how to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, how to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the Bible says, clearly declares that you shall be saved. Somebody asked the question, why do we serve? What is so important about serving? Here's the truth. We serve people so they can experience the love of Jesus. And we serve them so we have entree to share the gospel of Jesus with those who have experienced the love of Jesus. See, showing and sharing go hand in hand. And somebody in here needs to know, and you can probably testify from your own life, that showing God's love gives you credibility to be able to share God's love. Because if you don't show it, people will question, what is really the motive behind what you're doing or what you're saying? Last week, I shared with you just a couple of things. I'm just going to share them real quick just in the form of review. We talked last week and I shared with you, number one, you must desire for people to know Jesus and be saved. You got to have a desire. It's a heart's desire to be saved. When we see lost people, and can I tell you something? Lost people are not just those who are down and out. There's a whole bunch of lost people who are up and in. And when you come in contact with lost people, your heart's desire for them should be to know Jesus as their Savior. Not to become part of our church, but to become part of His church so that they can experience what it means to live in fulfillment of their potential. Second thing I shared with you last week, I said you can draw near to others through service. You can draw near to others through service. In helping others, you get an opportunity to get up close and personal and build credibility to share the Christian message. You show it and you get an opportunity to share it. Now, today I want to share with you two thoughts to finish out this sermon, little sermon series within the series, how to help people know Jesus. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to declare the gospel of Jesus to those who need him. You need to declare the gospel of Jesus to those who need him. Romans 10, verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, The New Living Translation, if you look at that translation, says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? People cannot call upon one in whom they have not believed. They cannot believe in one of whom they have not heard, and they cannot hear unless someone speaks. Now, here's what I need you to understand. There is a difference between preaching the gospel and being a preacher of the gospel. Paul is not talking about the office of a preacher or pastor. And one of the mistakes that we've made in the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about now just a new mistake. This has been a generational, in some instances, 1,000, 1,500-year mistake. We have left the sharing of the gospel to the professionals. It's as if the gospel comes with a warning label, don't do this at home. Leave this to the professionals. Like you cannot share the gospel everywhere you go. So the mistake that a lot of people made, and I remember growing up, and they would lay label and say, well, Pastor, I invited my friend to church. Lost, on their way to hell. Didn't know enough of the gospel to share the gospel so you could take the gospel to them and bring them to church already saved. You left it up to the preacher to preach, and then the invitation was given, and we said, come up and give the preacher your hand and give God your heart. Anybody remember those instructions? But Paul says they can't hear unless someone tells them. It's not only the preacher and pastor who can proclaim God's word. It's you. It's not the sermon that Paul is concerned about. It's the gospel that he's concerned about. It's not the sermon about a text. It's the gospel about what Jesus has done, that he came, he suffered, he bled, he died, and he rose again to pay the price for our sins. God says each one of us has to be able to tell somebody. See, they cannot hear unless someone shares with them. Without hearing about him, the word emphasizes hearing Christ's message through the proclamation of the gospel. Saving faith requires content. People have to know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, why they need him, and how they should respond to him. And that idea of being a proclaimer, I told you last week, right? Our actions speak so loud people can't hear a word that we're saying. We're preaching all the time. We're just not preaching the gospel all the time. Some of you are experts on preaching your attitude. You're an expert on proclaiming your temper. But how good are you at proclaiming the saving message of Jesus Christ? Can anybody see God in you? If a member of the district attorney was following you, could they even charge you with being a Christian? Would there be enough probable cause? You know what probable cause is, right? That's the basis of a charge, probable cause. To believe, one, that an offense occurred, and secondly, that you are the person who in all likelihood committed the offense. If they followed you around, would they have probable cause to accuse you of being a Christian? Or are you one of those silent saints, secret agent believer, work undercover, and nobody knows the faith that you say you believe? He says there's a message that you have to proclaim. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. And we are not to edit God's message to make it more fashionable. We're not to replace it with an inspirational message. We're not supposed to change it to make it more palatable so people will like to hear it. See, the gospel draws and the gospel drives. It'll draw people and it'll drive people. But we're never to change the message to only draw. We let people come as the Lord desires. So let me give you four things real quick. Write this down somewhere on your outline. The core of the gospel message. One, God made us and has authority over us. God made you and has authority over you. Second thing, we have all sinned and cannot make ourselves right with God. Not y'all have sinned, all have sinned. Not y'all have sinned because y'all do something I don't do, but all have sinned because we all do something that God doesn't want done. Number three, that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And the fourth thing, that God calls all of us to repent, believe in Christ, and confess Jesus as our Lord. See, Paul says the gospel needs to be demonstrated and declared. When you show the gospel, it should make it easier for you to share the gospel with somebody else. Why is that so important? Matter of fact, can I be honest with you? If we really think about the gospel and how we've been impacted, it should make sharing the gospel easier. Somebody say, why? Because when you come to share the gospel, you should remember the grace that rescued you. You should recognize your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. You should be able to testify as to what the Lord has done in your life, not just what somebody else needs done in their life. You should not be sharing the gospel as a perfect Christian, but you should be sharing the gospel as a recovering sinner who is who we are only by the grace of God. Can you imagine somebody coming to deliver something to your house? Some of y'all get so much stuff, man, from Amazon. Man already knows the directions. He knows the instructions when he comes. He got the code. He already knows how to leave it in the garage and all that, right? Can you imagine if somebody came to deliver a package, brought the package to the door, rang the doorbell, and left and got back in the truck and never left the package? There's a problem if somebody goes through all that trouble and doesn't deliver what they were supposed to deliver. Y'all, when we go to serve, when we go to share, when God gives you a divinely orchestrated moment to encourage somebody else, shame on us if we get a chance to deliver the package of the gospel and take it back with us and never shared it with somebody else. Here's the second thing. Well, before we do that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. This is really a summarization of the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. Let's read it together. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If we want to help people know Jesus, we must clearly explain what the Lord has done. Here's the second thing, then I'm gonna let you go. I told you, number one, you need to declare the gospel of Jesus to those who need him. Number two, you must direct people to respond to the gospel of Jesus in faith. You must direct people to respond to the gospel of Jesus in faith. But they have not, verse 16, Romans 10, the ESV translation, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But not all obeyed the gospel. Listen to me. The gospel is not merely information to consider. It is God's summons requiring a response. It's God's subpoena. And you have to decide spiritually, are you going to respond or not? He won't make you come. You have a choice to come, but he expects a response. Watch this. Not everyone, the New Living Translation says, welcomes the good news. Not everyone is going to accept it. Y'all, let me help somebody today, because here's what I'm feeling in my spirit. That somebody you left one Sunday, you were excited about the season to serve, and you was like, yes. And you had the person you was going to ask, and you asked them, and they said no. And you was like, wait, hold on, what's for go like that? I didn't ask you to come to church. I said, no. I know what you're trying to do. No. I'm not going to serve anyone. No. One of the members said she asked a friend, an acquaintance actually. She had just met the person, and they were talking, and she said, I'm going to volunteer at the food pantry. Man, why don't you come and let's volunteer? No. Right? I mean, that's hard, man. That's like, you know, hey, man, we're going to pet puppies. No. You're like, what's wrong with you, man? We're going to help somebody. But watch this. Y'all, some people will say no. They will say no to serving, and they will say no to the Savior. But guess what, y'all? You planted a seed. Don't get mad. Well, fine. You don't want to go with me. I ain't got to shake the dust off my feet. I ain't going to fool with you no more. No Jesus in that response. Right? I don't care what they say. Every time an invitation is made, every time the gospel is shared, seed is planted, already planted seed is watered, and you may not see the increase, but it doesn't mean God can't move in their life later on. Paul describes believing the gospel as obeying the gospel. Now, you can ask somebody very lovingly, is there anything preventing you from trusting Jesus today? Or do you believe that Jesus has died for your sins? Or are you ready to turn from your sin and accept Jesus Christ in your life? But if they say no today, that doesn't mean it's a no for a lifetime. What are you responsible to do? Keep loving. Keep showing God's love to them, keep praying, and keep trusting God to do what only God can do. Can I tell you something that we have to learn? Zion McGregor is a friend of mine. He wrote an article, Who's Really Growing the Church? And one of the principles in this article, and it's a power-packed article, he says we have to stop looking at church and the gospel presentation like a manufacturer and start looking at it like a farmer. He says, some of us think we just put it in the hopper and we go through a process, and then at the end of the process, the church is going to grow. People's lives are going to be changed. He said, no. You got to do like a farmer. You plant seed. You water seed. You wait on seed. And you trust God to give the increase. My mother would tell the story of my father, who came to faith later in life. And I believe my father was saved. I don't know if he was always as sanctified as he needed to be, but he gave his life to the Lord. I believe that. And he would tell the story of how my mother prayed for him, I want to say 28 years. 28 years, she was praying. I don't know if she ever felt like giving up in them 28 years that she was praying. I don't know if she ever got to the point where she's like, God, you know what? What you gonna do with this man? All I know is she said she prayed, and God eventually answered her prayers. I wonder if some of y'all are afraid to pray for somebody because God just might answer your prayer. Watch this. Do you pray as much for the person that you complain about? Do you complain more than you pray, or do you pray more than you complain? Every time they get on your last nerve, are you ready to tell them off, or are you ready to tell God about them? See, every person who hears the gospel won't be saved, y'all. But every person who hears the gospel will have an opportunity to say yes. We plant, we water, God gives the increase, God gives the growth. And when we share, our goal is not for people to say, ooh, those church members are so wonderful. Our goal should be for them, after we interact with them, our goal is for them to say, wow, what an awesome God they serve. And I want what they have. See, you can't force conversion. You cannot argue somebody into the kingdom. You can't manufacture true repentance. You can't save anyone. There's a denomination, a church, and man, I think they get in arguments with themselves. They say they believe Jesus Christ and they accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and they always looking for an argument. Always. And man, I run into them, or somebody will call me and say, man, Pastor, I was talking to so-and-so. Here, they want to talk to you on the phone. And after they go through their spiel, I listen. And then I'm like, are you saved? Did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Yes, sir, I'm saved. So am I. God bless you. I'm not arguing with you over stuff. I'm not majoring in minors. There's too many folk out here lost and going to hell for me to waste my time, energy, and effort trying to argue with you about how many angels can dance on the head of a needle. See, you pray, you serve, you speak, you invite, you continue loving, and then you wait for the Holy Spirit to move in somebody's life. That's what John says. Look at John 6:44. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. Now, somebody may say, well, how do we know we're successful, Pastor? I'm going to tell you how you know you're successful. Watch this. The standard of success in winning somebody to Christ is your faithful obedience to God. It's not the results. It's being obedient to God. The results are in God's hand. They're not in your hand. You got to make sure when somebody rejects you sharing that it doesn't make you hard or indifferent. It doesn't hurt your feelings, because it's not your message. It's God's message. And if they reject the message, don't get mad and take it personal like they rejected you. You got to keep praying. You got to keep serving. You got to keep sharing. You've got to keep trusting God to do what you cannot do. Your role is faithfulness. God's role is transformation. So stop taking credit for what only God can do. You didn't change anybody. God had to change him. Nobody changed you. God had to change you. And some of you God is still working on. Hasn't gotten you where you need to be yet. Evangelism is not just a decision. It's part of the discipleship process that develops a life. So when you go to serve with somebody, let me give you some questions to ask. Where did we see God working today? Where did fear control me? Because you know, anytime you want to obey God, y'all, anytime, fear is going to step up. You got to ask yourself the question, where did fear control me? Where did this experience, or what did this experience reveal about my heart? How can I become more loving, more courageous, and more clear? And what is my next step of obedience? See, in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, and without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There's a saving faith, but there's also a serving faith. We want people to experience a saving faith, but we've got to practice a serving faith that has faith that God can do what we cannot do. Our mission is too important to remain silent. We have spiritual life preservers in a world where people are drowning in sin. How dare we hold on to a life preserver and we're already safe on board and on shore when there are people who are drowning in sin all around us? And now if I toss them a life preserver and they decide they want to drown, that's on them. I ain't taking it personal that they rejected my life preserver. Let me pull it back in and get ready to toss it to somebody else. So I want to encourage you today. Live God's message. But not only live it, love people enough to share God's message with them. Because when compassionate service and courageous witness come together, people can see the love of Christ and they can hear the message of Christ. From heart to heart, from home to home, from neighbor to neighbor, from generation to generation. Somebody was sent to you. Somebody helped you to know. Somebody spoke to you. Somebody loved you. You heard, you believed, you called on Jesus, and Jesus saved you. Now it's your turn to go to somebody else. It's your turn to serve. It's your turn to speak. It's your turn to help somebody else know and grow in Jesus. The old hymn said it so simply, but so profoundly. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good Christian ought, if I can bring that duty to a world that's lost, if I can spread a love message that the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. No, my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. You do know that word vain there, right? The root of vanity means a wasted life. A life that results in me only doing things that last on earth. Only doing things that show up in time and never manifest itself in eternity. Then my living, if I can help somebody, shall not be in vain. I want you to make up your mind today that you will not live a vain life, a showy life, a flashy life. a life without substance, a life without faith, and a life without fruit. Let's pray. God, we bless you and thank you for today. I thank you, God, because you challenge all of us, God, to know you, to grow in you, and to help somebody else to know and grow in you. And so today, God, help all of us to realize that words don't save us alone. It's our faith in you that has saved us. And help us to help somebody else to experience that saving knowledge. Thank you for loving us when we were lost. Thank you for sending your son into our broken world to bring healing to our broken lives. Thank you for the person who prayed for us. Thank you for the person who served us. Thank you for the person who spoke to us. Thank you for the person who helped us to hear the gospel. And God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will help us now to be that for somebody else. To pray for them, serve them, speak to them, love them, and help them to say yes to the same gospel we said yes to. Forgive us, God, for serving without speaking. Forgive us for speaking without loving. Forgive us for ignoring needs because service was inconvenient. Forgive us for allowing fear to silence our witness. Forgive us for refusing to tell somebody else what you have done for us, because we were more afraid of their response than we were committed to obediently following you. Make our feet beautiful because they carry good news. Make our hands useful because they demonstrate compassion. Make our lives credible because they reflect your character. And make our words clear so that somebody would hear the truth and say yes to you. Where our prayers fall short, God, we ask you to make up the difference. Touch as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Those of you can and will, please stand on your feet. We've been challenged by the word this morning, and we thank God for that challenging and convicting message. But there's somebody here today that still needs to respond to God, still needs to respond to the call to come to a saving faith. Been dancing around it, you've been running from it, you've been doing everything you could not to respond. And yet, Sunday by Sunday, you are told that it's a good decision to make. You are shown the way, and you're still running. Got news for you today. You don't have to run anymore. You can come now just as you are and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have an opportunity this morning. You have a chance this morning. You don't have to leave here today still saying, oh, I need to do it or I ought to do it. Don't do that today. Come now, just as you are. We're waiting for you, but more importantly, God is waiting for you to come just now. So we give you an opportunity to come just as you are, as Minister Taylor sings for us. Come. You're invited to come now, just as you are.
Christ to you, oh my brother, we
Old folks say you can run, but you can't hide. God has been talking to you over and over again, been giving you this message and that message. Somebody has blessed you out of nowhere. Somebody has done something for you. That's God talking to you, and that's God giving you a chance to see him and to come to be with him. So I say to you, you've been running, but you can't hide. God is still coming for you, and he's still wanting you to accept his son. So we give you that chance right now to come just as you are.
Oh, come. Come on to Christ. We are for Christ, yes. We are for Christ to you. Oh, my brother.
God, we come now thanking you for your word that convicts us and to remind us of the sacrifice of our Savior. And Lord, we know that there's someone here that's still trying to run away, still not willing to come to a saving faith. There's someone online that's still struggling, Lord. So we lift them up to you right now. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move, to move them to have confidence and trust and a decision to become a child of God. So bless them now, Lord. Give them that confidence that they need. And we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Let's thank God for that word from our senior pastor that challenges us.